In the last year, we mentioned the Toras Kohanim on the Pasuk in Parshas Bahar, Perek Chafei, Pasuk Yedalid, that when one chooses to sell an item or one chooses to purchase an item, the Chisimkur Mimkar La'amisecha Okono Miyana Misecha, Toras Kohanim says one is supposed to sell or purchase either to or from a Jew, Amisecha. You're supposed to give priority to a Jew in either choosing whom to sell the item to or who to purchase the item from. And I would add only that the Piskei Uziel, the Tshuvas of Ben Zion, Meir Chai Uziel, Sephardic Chief Rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, he has a Tshuva in Piskei Uziel dating back to 1935 when he was asked to address the issue of Avodah Ivrit, the campaign at that time that was launched to encourage Jews in Israel to hire not the cheaper Arab laborers, but rather to hire fellow Jews as their hired laborers. And Rav Uziel was responding to someone who had written that this is an issue of tzedakah. Tzedakah includes, more than anything else, giving a fellow Jew a job. And Rav Uziel says it's not just an inyan of tzedakah, but it's also a mitzvah on the basis of this Toras Kohanim. Same way you should give priority to sell an item to a fellow Jew or to purchase an item from a fellow Jew, you also, when hiring workers to give you services, you should give priority on the basis of that Toras Kohanim to fellow Jews. Hence the importance of hiring a Jewish laborer, not an Arab laborer, even if it is going to be more expensive. We left off last year discussing what is the extent of that price differential that one has to be willing to absorb in order to fill this mitzvah of hiring or selling to or purchasing from a fellow Jew. So we had mentioned the Ramban, his Shuvah Simen Yud, brings a raya that one is chayef to prioritize giving business to a Jew from the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Chaf Aleph and Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf, which speaks of the requirement when one has a nevela, a animal that died without a shechita, that he has to now discard. There is a requirement to prioritize giving the nevela to a ger toshav, a non-Jew who observes the prohibitions related to Avodah Zarah or who observes the Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, before one chooses to sell it to a non-Jew. Lahaktim nesina deger lemechir denachri. So Minchas Yitzchak Dayan Weiss in his Tshuvas Chelek Gimel Simen Kuf Chav Tes writes that from that very source we perhaps can find some indication as to what extent one has to be willing to absorb a price difference when purchasing from a Jew versus, say, non-Jew. Because there in Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf, Tosfos questions the following. Tosfos asks, how could it be that I have an obligation to give my nevela to a ger toshav rather than choosing to sell it to a guy? After all, says Tosfos, does that mean that if I choose to sell any item, I have to first be willing to give it away for free to a fellow Jew before I choose to sell it to a guy? Just to put that in contemporary terms, I have a used couch. I want to sell it on eBay. I have to first post on KGH Shuls saying I'm willing to give away this couch to any fellow Jew here who wants to take it free of charge before I decide to sell it on eBay and try to make some money off of it? Tosis, it can't be. How could that be? That you have to be willing to give everything you want to sell away to a Jew before you sell it to a non-Jew? So Tosis writes the following. Tosis says, no, this din of lahaktim nesina deger l'mechira denachri is said only with regard to nevela, or perhaps one might add, that which resembles nevela. Namely, says Tosfos, nevela is something for which there is very little demand in the Jewish market. What's another Jew going to do with a nevela? No one wants to buy it. So how much can you make on nevela anyways if you choose to sell it? No Jew wants to buy it. He has no use for it. The same way you have no use for it. The only one who's willing to buy it is the occasional non-Jew who happens to live within the Jewish community or nearby. He knows there's no demand for it. He's not willing to pay big bucks for your nevela. So there's a very, very small demand for nevela, and if one chooses to sell it on the non-Jewish market, you're not going to get that much money for it, says Tosus. It's a dover muet, all in all. And so Dafka says Tosus by nevela, which is worth not that much. It's a dover muet. Okay, so if it's only a dover muet, there, says Tosus, the Torah requires you to give it first to a ger toshav before you choose it to sell it to a guy. So Dayan Weiss and his Mrs. Minchas Yitzchak argues, if that's the case, it would seem that this entire din of choosing to purchase from a Jewish store owner before one chooses to purchase from a non-Jewish owner, since the Ramah, in part, brought proof to this halacha from that din of giving the nevela to a ger toshav before one chooses to sell to a guy, well then, that very din, says Minchas Yitzchak is, as Tosfos indicates in Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf, only relevant if it's only a davar muat at stake, a small amount of money that one stands to lose by giving it to a ger dosha before selling it to a guy. So too, when it comes to this din of purchasing from a Jew over a non-Jew, only if one stands to lose only a davar muat by paying a little bit extra to the Jewish store owner, then one has an obligation to purchase from the Jewish store owner over the non-Jewish store owner. But if it's more than a davar muat, it's a significant price differential, then one would not be obligated to purchase from a Jewish store owner instead of purchasing from a non-Jewish store owner. And the question then becomes, well, what is a davar muat? How do you define davar muat? So Dayan Weiss really leaves it as an open question. He raises two possibilities. He says that when it comes to issa v'heter, where at times we find poskim speak of being machmir if it's only a hefsid muat, a small financial loss, but no need to be machmir if it's a hefsid meruba, a significant financial loss. So there's a machlokes in Pesachei Tshuva, in Simin Lamed Aleph, Hilchos Trefos. What is definition of hefsid muat versus hefsid meruba? There are some achronim, such as the Nachlas Shiva and his Tshuvos, who write that what hefsid muat versus hefsid meruba means is comparable to what we find in another halacha, the din of ona'ah, not overcharging a fellow Jew when you sell him an item or sell him a property. In fact, it's the very same pasuk in Parshas Bahar, Chof Hei Yudalad, Al Tonu Ish Esachiv. One should not overcharge ona'ah. And there we know the halacha says that if one overcharges more than a sixth of the going market rate, then the sale is null and void. That's considered a significant overcharge, sales null and void. Whereas if one charges less than a sixth over the going market rate, so we assume, okay, the person who was overcharged is mochel, that price difference. And therefore, the sale is not null and void, the sale stands. So in Tshuvas Nachlas Shiva, he says that whenever we find in poskim, in halacha, this reference to a hefsid muat versus a hefsid meruba, that's what it means. Hefsid muat means less than a sixth difference. Hefsid meruba means more than a sixth difference. That's the psak of the Tshuvas Nachlas Shiva. However, Pesachei Tshuva quotes that there are others, Tshuvas Har Carmel, who argue and say, no, it has nothing to do with one sixth, less than a sixth, more than a sixth, because less than a sixth might mean instead of paying $5, you paid $5.99, or it might mean instead of paying $500, you paid $599. Now, that's a big difference between $500 and $599. Between $5 and $5.99, not as much of a difference. But the point being, you can't claim that, oh, whenever you pay less than a sixth more, that's never more than a hefsid muat. That could vary. That could depend upon the scenario. And so Tshuvas Har Carmel says, you can't tell me that 1/6 is the magical cutoff point. Depends on the person, depends on his financial circumstances, depends on the place and time. It all depends. Depends on the person. Some people, for them, a less than a sixth difference is minimal. For others, that's very significant. It really depends on the person. You can't make such a blank statement, oh, 1/6 is the cutoff point. That's psak of the Tshuvas Har HaKarmel. And Rav Asher Weiss, in his Minchas Asher, so before we were quoting of Yitzchak Weiss, Dayan Weiss, in his Minchas Yitzchak, now we're quoting of Asher Weiss, in his Minchas Asher, he argues that it's not necessarily so mistaber to assume that the 1/6 is a significant cutoff point when it comes to our issue of how much more do I have to be willing to pay to purchase from a Jewish store owner over a non-Jewish store owner. And therefore, Rav Asher Weiss assumes that it's more reasonable to say it depends on the person, depends on his financial circumstances. That would be the determining factor as to what's considered a large differential for him versus a minor difference in price. It's not shame of Moshe Sternbach in his Tshuvas, in Tshuvas van Hagos, both in Chelik Aleph, Simen Taf Taf Hei, and Chelik Beis, Simen Taf Shin Chav Dalet. He assumes that 1/6 is the cutoff point, that more than a sixth in price differential would be a significant difference. You'd not be obligated to give your business to a Jewish merchant under those circumstances, whereas less than a sixth in price differential would be a minor, insignificant difference, and you would be obligated on the basis of the Toras Kohanim to give your business to the Jewish store owner under those circumstances. So really, halacha lemaisa, it seems like there's a machlokas haposkim, contemporary poskim. Rav Asher Weiss in his Minchas Asher assumes that the price difference depends upon the person, what's considered significant for you versus insignificant for you. And Rav Moshe Sternbach assumes it depends upon the 1/6 cutoff point. More than a sixth in difference, that's significant. No need to go to the Jewish store owner specifically. Less than a sixth in price difference, that's insignificant. He would say there is then a mitzvah to go to the Jewish store owner under those circumstances. One other factor to consider is not just the price differential, but how much more tircha is involved in going to the Jewish store owner over the non-Jewish store owner. Now here, Moshe Feinstein, as quoted by Mordechai Tendler in Masoros Moshe, writes that yes, tircha is a factor. One should also take into consideration the added tircha. Sometimes the Jewish store owner lives further away than the non-Jewish store owner. I can find a non-Jewish store right across the street, right around the corner, very convenient, whereas the Jewish store perhaps might be a bit of a drive away. So how much tircha must I be willing to undertake to go to the Jewish business over the non-Jewish business? So Moshe Sturmbach and Shuvas van Hagas has a fascinating suggestion, which brings us back to the Smichas Chaver program learning for those who are keeping up with the Smichas Chaver. Rav Moshe Sturmbach writes, we find when it comes to, for example, the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim, how far do I have to go to find water for Netilas Yadayim if I don't have water in my house? So the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Mem Vav, says that with regards to Netilas Yadayim, if you are traveling, you have to be willing to travel 4 mil further along your way to find the water. If you're not traveling, such as if you're in your house, for example, you have to be willing to go up to 1 mil from where you are to find water to perform the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim. So Moshe Sturmbach suggests, perhaps here as well, with regard to this mitzvah, how far do I have to go to get to a Jewish store before going to a non-Jewish store? Perhaps he says one would have to go up to 1 mil further to get to a Jewish-owned store. Now that could be a significant chumrah, because 1 mil, poskim assume, Bi Halacha writes in Simon, in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, 1 mil means how long it takes you to travel is the measurement that we're referring to here. That can mean 18 minutes travel time. That means I have to go up to 18 minutes by car to get to a Jewish store in order to purchase there versus the non-Jewish store. That's a significant difference. But that's a Moshe Sturmbach suggestion. Maybe that sheer mil would be relevant here as well. However, Sturmbach then also suggests the following svara, which could be a kula. He says, perhaps he thinks misvara, this mitzvah, this din of Taras Kohanim, is not relevant if I'm just simply going to buy a small, insignificant purchase. I forget I have no milk in the house. I run out to get some milk for breakfast. Perhaps suggests Moshe Sturmbach this would not be subject to this requirement of Taras Kohanim to go to a Jewish-owned business. It could be, he argues, that maybe this requirement of going to a Jewish-owned business would only be relevant if I'm making a major, significant purchase, or my regular, ordinary, monthly, or whatever it is, weekly, supermarket purchases. Maybe that's when we would invoke this din of Taras Kohanim, that your regular purchases, your regular shopping excursions should be to a Jewish-owned store, or your significant purchases should be made from a Jewish-owned store. But an occasional purchase here or there, perhaps that would not be subject to this din of Taras Kohanim. So again, we have, number one, the limitation on the application of this din of Taras Kohanim, that maybe I'm only required to purchase at a Jewish-owned store if there's only a minor price differential. What that means is a machlokas, contemporary poskim. Does that mean less than a sixth in difference in price? Or does that mean, dependent upon the person and his financial circumstances, the time and the place, hefsid mut versus hefsid meruba could vary? And number two, we spoke of perhaps taking into account the additional tircha involved in going to the Jewish-owned store versus a non-Jewish-owned store. Moshe Sturmbach suggests maybe one would be required to go up to 1 mil, 18 minutes travel time, to get to a Jewish store versus a non-Jewish store. And then he also argues that perhaps this entire thing would only be relevant for my regular, ordinary shopping excursions or my significant purchases, not for an occasional smaller purchase here or there. And one last suggestion, a kula that perhaps Moshe Sturmbach suggests, he says that the Taras Kohanim is not quoted explicitly in Talmud Bavli or in Shulchan Aruch. Maybe it's only meant, as the Malbim seems to indicate, as a divrei musar, as an appropriate thing to do, as a form of chesed. Maybe it's not a strict obligation. Again, he leaves that as a possibility. There are others that point out, Moshe Sturmbach quotes as well, that the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kuf Ayin Hey, Sif Mem Aleph in Choshen Mishpat does seem to allude to this halacha that you should be willing to give a Jew your business or your property that you plan to sell before giving it to a non-Jew. But in that context in Shulchan Aruch says that's only true if the Jew is willing to pay as much as the non-Jew is willing to pay. So there the Shulchan Aruch doesn't allow for any price differential. He says you should be willing to sell your property to a Jew versus a non-Jew only if the Jew is paying the same amount as the non-Jew. But this idea that you have to be willing to pay more to purchase from a Jewish owner, or you have to be willing to sell to a Jewish individual even at a lower price than to a non-Jewish individual, that doesn't appear explicitly in Shulchan Aruch anywhere. And perhaps that's why Moshe Nebuch suggests, the Malbim writes, it's more of a Derech Musar type of recommendation, if you will. So again, these are some of the considerations with regard to this halacha as found in Taras Kohanim and as quoted the halacha by the Rama in his Tshuvas in Simen Yud.